chapter 6, verse number 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Question mark. And then the answer, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Boy, that's a great question, isn't it? That's a great question I'd like to ask a lot of people. How shall we that are dead to sin, which is a description of being saved, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Just on that verse right there alone, you're wasting your time to say, preach, I'm saved, but you're living in sin. God's people are not perfect. God's people are not perfect. And you don't have to go far to discover that. In fact, just look in the mirror. You know that we're not perfect. You're not, I'm not. The only one perfect is the Lord Jesus Christ that we're serving. But if we're not careful, we'll make excuses for sin. But he asked the question here, if you're dead to sin, you've died to sin, that's what happens when you get saved, that attraction, that connection to sin is dead. Now, it was right the opposite of that before you got saved. It was right the opposite. You were dead in trespasses and sin, meaning you were dead spiritually. You were dead toward God. That's why you weren't interested in the Bible and preaching and the truth and getting saved. It's because all of your Godward direction was dead. Sin killed it. That's why you weren't interested. You were dead to God, dead to the book, dead to faith, dead to church. You was dead toward it. But then God began to work in your heart and began to bring about regeneration in your life. And you begin become interested and you begin to hear. I like what Brother Billy Mitchell said. And boy, you talking about nailing a coffin shut on Calvinism. Because they go way out in left field with the total depravity concept. Oh man, it's so depraved that he has God's got to do it all and save him and then tell him he did it. But Adam, God told Adam, said, in the day you eat thereof, you're going to what? Die. But he was not so dead, Brother Fultz, that he didn't hear the voice of God when God come call. Are you listening? You may be dead in trespass and sin, but when God speaks, you're not so dead that you cannot hear his voice. You may be depraved to where you say no. You may be depraved to where you say, I'm not interested. You may be so depraved if that happens. Amen. But you won't be so depraved that you can't hear his voice. Amen. Aren't you glad that day when you was living a sinful life and a sinner's life, headed in a sinner's direction for a sinner's destruction, and out of nowhere, God began to speak to you. God began to challenge you. God began to get your attention. Adam, where art thou? Oh, you remember that. Oh, I do very well. I remember that night I got saved. I remember it sitting on the pew, how God arrested my attention and started speaking to me, using what was preached to speak to me. Amen. Boy, I still remember that. I didn't mean to get hung up there, but that's all right. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? See, the emphasis there didn't say how shall we that are dead to sin ever commit sin. But it said to live in it. Brother Fultz, if everyone in this building, including me, if God were to call to reckon our lives in the last 24 hours, none of us have even been sinless in the last 24 hours. But I want to go on record to say, and I'm not making light of that, and I'm not taking up for that, we ought to hate it. We ought to hate it, and I pray that all the time about myself. Lord, help me to hate sin and to love righteousness. Because if you love sin, you probably are not going to reject it. Actually, if you love sin, you're probably lost. Just to be honest about it. But there's a difference of living in sin. That is, it's a lifestyle, it's a manner of life, it's a direction, a course. Amen. It wasn't just a one incident, a slip up, a mistake, or whatever, you know, say something or do. No, it's living in it. Living in it. Brother, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer in sin? I believe God when He saves you. And listen, I don't think you want to debate that, but if listen, this Bible is clear. God makes you a new you when you get saved. God makes you a new you. Amen. Wasn't that a blessing? We've heard Brother Henry's testimony. Everybody in the world's heard Brother Ivan's testimony. Everybody knows that. Brother Fultz, we've heard some of your testimony. Brother Aaron, some of his testimony. You know, we've heard some of your testimony. Brother Chuck's testimony. Miss June's testimony. We've heard some of that. Amen. But oh my goodness. When you get saved, God makes a new you. That may not resonate much with us. That may not ring a bell with us. But there's people that needs to hear that. They're so sick of their old self. They're so sick of their old choices of just constantly choosing the wrong, constantly choosing the things that is not good, that's ruining them as a person, ruining their marriage, ruining their home, ruining their family. They're tired of it. And they're thinking, is there any help for me? Is there any help for me? So they just, here last January 1st, they just try to, New Year's resolution, I'm going to try to not say those things again. I'm going to try to avoid drinking that, and I'm going to try to avoid smoking that. I'm going to try to avoid going to this place or that place, and I'm going to try to avoid. And guess what? Hadn't even been hardly a day or two, and they've already flopped. They've already failed. And you know what good news they'd love to hear? That God can make a new you out of you. Amen. Amen. It's not a recap. God's not in the recapping business. How many of us that are older remember going to the tire store and buying recaps? We couldn't afford buying sure enough tires, Michelin's or whatever. We'd go get the recaps. That's tires that's already wore out. Tires, and some of them were recaps. They'd already been wore out as a new tire, wore out, slick, and then recapped. That's already been wore out, and they're recapping again. Yes, sir. Hey, if it'll roll, it works. That's the way we did it. Amen. And sometimes the recaps would come flying off. Say amen right there. Be going down the road. Go out and part of the recap's coming off. Amen. I'm glad God's not in the recapping business. He don't recap you. You know what recap is? Take the old and just put something new over the external, the outside. Amen. Mix a little old in with a little new and get you down the road. No, God's not in the recapping business. No, He's not taking what's old and fixing it up. Because I'm going to prove to you, friend, that old you is still old you. That old you is called the flesh. And brother, that thing is still wicked. That nature inside of you still loves sin. It is, amen. If you turn it loose, give it a little leeway, give it some rope, I'll tell you, it'll wind up in the cesspool before this evening. You'll make choices that you never thought you would. Whatever you've done before you got saved, you're still capable of doing that. Anything anybody else has done, you're still capable of doing it. Have no confidence in the flesh. Don't put any trust in your old nature, because that old nature don't care about you. It don't care about your family. It don't care about your future. It don't care about nobody but itself. Self-gratification. That's all the old flesh is about. It don't matter if eating of that fruit, Eve and Adam, is going to cause you to die and be broken fellowship with God and be cast out of the garden and have to raise your family never knowing what it was like to be in the Garden of Eden. And all that you've done before, you can do again. The new you that God makes out of you and puts in you is more powerful than the flesh. If you follow after the Spirit of God that's within you, then that human spirit will not be the driving force. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm glad today for that. God, listen, we can, on this first Sunday morning, we can announce to everyone that God, through the new birth, can make a new you out of you. Amen. He'll put a new nature in you. He'll put a new spirit in you. He'll put a new life in you. That's good news. We've heard it so much that it's almost old news. But there's people struggling with what they are. They're struggling with their choices. They're in bondage. That's almost like, preacher, I know this is wrong. I know this is not good. I know I shouldn't be doing this. But I just, you know, they're addicted. When you're addicted, you don't count the cost. When you're addicted to something, you don't measure out. Okay, if I keep doing this, what's the result? You're going to lose your family. You're whatever. I want to tell you, friend, all you're thinking about is that moment of pleasure. Amen. I asked a man one time, I've told the story here, but I asked a man one time that was noted at that time as being a drunk, known all around in this area as being a drunk. Brother Ivan, you may have been with me that day. I don't remember. But anyway, I was in his house, and there he sat doing what he does from daylight till dark. Or did. I think he got saved. Thank God. I hope he did. But he was drinking, and I said, I pointed out some pictures on the wall, and I said, who's that? He said, oh, that's my wife. I said, where is she? She don't live here. She won't live with me. I said, why? And he held up that can. I said, you mean to tell me you're willing to choose? And I reached down and flipped it with my finger. I said, I was getting real bold right there. I don't know. In the spirit, out of the spirit, I don't know, but it was bold. I reached out, flipped that in his hand, and it went, bing. I said, you mean you're choosing that over your wife? I said, who's this right here? And they said, that's my children, that's my grandchildren. I said, where are they at? They don't live here either, and don't hardly ever come around. I said, why? Held up that can. Here's an individual, listen, that knows what he's doing is not only destroying him physically, not only destroying him physically, but is destroying his marriage, destroying his home, destroying his connection and relationship with his children and his grandchildren. But yet, he lived every day to drink. And drink, if he's awake, he's drinking. Amen. Are you listening? Sat in that one spot in his kitchen, Brother Ivan. I know you've been there with me when that, you saw that. Sat there with a little kitchen table chair, sitting right there, had his feet propped up on the wall, and the four places where those legs of that chair were was wore plumb through the linoleum and into the subfloor, and he sat there for so many years. Where he put his feet on the wall was wore plumb through the paneling. All for what? That moment of pleasure, of an addiction being satisfied that would not last a few minutes till they'd have to pop another top and pop another and pop another one. Are you listening? Oh, I'm telling you. Tell somebody that we know the answer. We know the answer of you becoming a new you in a new year, and it's found in the Lord Jesus Christ in the new birth. Oh, yes. Oh, how many people would love to hear that? They drink because they don't think there's nothing else. There's nothing else on the table. Nothing else on the menu. No, I tell you, we've been silent so long that people have swallowed the addiction as being the only way of coping with life. Shame on us if that's the case. Amen. Well, I've got hung up there. I wasn't really where I wanted to get. How shall we that are dead live any longer therein? Verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. And look what it says, and that when it's talking about there in verse number 3, baptized into his death, And then again in verse number 4, he talked about being baptism into death. That's the same death it's talked about in verse 2. How shall we that are dead to sin? How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? It's because when you get saved, you are identified first with the crucifixion of our Lord. The first thing, the first part about salvation is that God wants to baptize you, immerse you. That's not water baptism like the Church of Christ and all of those that believe in baptismal regeneration would want you to believe. There's no indication, no scriptural support, none whatsoever that that's water baptism. Amen? But we're baptized into His death. A lot of people don't want to be identified with that. But the Apostle Paul, here's your verse you ought to memorize. I memorized it probably, I don't even know how many years ago it's been when I first got saved. Galatians 2:20, probably one of the great life verses of the Apostle Paul. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live by faith. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I don't know if I hit that. I maybe go back and refresh that. But Paul said, I'm crucified. That's why he didn't quit when people were talking about him. That's why he didn't throw in the towel when people was criticizing him. That's why he didn't quit when people were beating on him. And dragging him outside the city and outside the gate and leaving him for dead. That's why he didn't quit when they threw him in jail. That's why he didn't quit every time he turned around. There were some perils coming his way or afflictions coming his way. You know why? You can't hurt a dead man. You can't offend a dead man. You can't upset a dead man. Amen. I don't think we're near as dead as we think. I think we're probably more dead spiritually than we think. But I don't think we're as dead toward our flesh as we think. Amen. Amen. When those desires come, when that thought comes, when a temptation comes, your response will be, nope, I'm dead to that. I'm dead to that. I don't want you to turn here. I just want you to listen to this. I wasn't planning on reading this, but it fits where I'm at right now. Listen to this right here. The last few verses in the book of Galatians, Paul writing, and he's made this statement. Here's what he said. Listen to it. Verse 14, no doubt one of his proof texts, one of his life verses. He said, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. There's three crucifixions in that one verse. He said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus. There's the first one. By whom the world is crucified unto me. There's the second one. And I unto the world, the third one. Amen. Thank God Jesus died for me, but there's more death going on besides that. When I identify with His death, His crucifixion, guess what? In salvation, it brings about the fact that the world is crucified unto me. That's why it don't appeal. It should not appeal to us. It's because we're dead to that. We're dead to our past. We're dead to that. Amen. The world is crucified unto me. I don't, listen, as a Christian, I don't appeal to the world. As a Christian, they're not attracted toward me. The world is crucified unto me. But then it ends the verse by saying, I unto the world. I'm crucified toward it. I'm dead toward it. That right there will help us in this upcoming year, 2022. I believe that would help us if we would identify ourselves. I'm dead to that. I'm dead to criticism. I'm dead to these temptations. I'm dead to what people think. I'm dead to what people say. I'm dead to what the politicians are saying. I'm dead to the new laws. I'm dead to the mandates. I'm dead to what the governor says. Amen. Dead to it. But I'm alive unto God. I'm alive unto Him. Amen. Look right there in verse number 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as, so he's using the word baptism as a picture, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk. This is where I really wanted to get to this morning. You say, oh God help us. I didn't say I was going to labor here. But this is where I wanted to get to. Even so we also should walk in what? Say that word again. That's a Bible word. Newness. Newness and new is two different things. You can't have newness until you first have new. Newness is the newness of the new. The new is new, and I need to walk in the newness of that. Amen. I'm to walk in the newness of that. I'm to walk in the newness of my salvation. I'm to walk in the newness of the light God's given me. I'm to walk in the newness of the changes that God has brought in my life. Have we lost the newness in the new year? It's possible to be new and have lost the newness. And I don't have to labor that point right there. Anybody that's got any observation whatsoever of the church Christianity of our day has noticed and can easily see that newness is gone. The newness of the singing's gone. The newness of prayer is gone. The newness of the Bible is gone. The newness of church is gone. That freshness of it. Oh, God didn't just want us to walk in the new. God wants it to continually be in the state, Brother Fultz, of newness. Freshness. Real in the present. Experienced in the present. Y'all looking at me like, preacher, I don't know about all that. If it was just new, then for me, that's been almost 41 years ago. If it was new, what would that be doing for me today? If I always was putting it, well, yeah, ma'am, I remember the Lord blessed me 41 years ago. Man, I remember getting happy 41 years ago. Well, I remember, boy, when God just, no, and always keeping it 41 years ago, 40 years ago. No, what about the newness? I didn't get to study that out, but I will before tonight. I guarantee you that newness has got something to do with the present tense. Walk, it didn't say walked with an E-D. It said walk in newness of life. And we use that scripture, both folks. We use that scripture when we're baptizing. You know, you're buried with him. This don't have a thing to do with your salvation, as far as you getting saved or being saved or being more saved. Amen. Brother Trent thought he was getting saved when I baptized him. Say amen. And I was wondering if I was losing mine when I was baptizing. But anyway, that wrestling match, brother, that'll go down in history. I'm bound to get an extra star in my crown just for that one. I survived that one. But anyway, when we take them by the profession of their faith and we lay them down in that watery grave, as it were, it is a portrait. It is a portrait of a person that has gotten saved, and that old life, the old you, is dead now. You're dead to the person you used to be. You're dead to the reputation you used to have. You're dead to the loves and likes that you used to have, the desires that you used to have, the crowd that you used to fit in with. I want to tell you, and thank God, listen, in picture form, you're buried, amen, and when they're buried, I had to get Brother Ryan plumb up on the first step to get that finished. But amen, you go completely young. Poor Miss Abigail back here, I about drowned her over that Bible truth right there. You remember that, Miss Abigail? What's that creek that runs under 11W up here? Is that Big Creek? Right up there, right above that, we was having a baptism in the creek up there. How many in here was being baptized that day? That's here. I know there's some that's not here. There were several. Anyway, I know what that scripture says about being buried. You don't bury somebody and leave an arm sticking out of the grave, or a face, burying them, or a face is sticking out. No, you put them all under. You cover them all up. Amen. That's why a lot of people don't like the thought of being saved. They don't want to be buried. They still want some of themselves sticking out. Anyway, Miss Abigail, the water wasn't that deep and all that. But Miss Abigail, she was being a little rebellious that day. She was just a little girl. And I went down with her, and about the time her head should have went under, if she would have been like a corpse, you know, just like this. But she wasn't as dead as everybody thought. Right as her head started to go under, instead of laying back like that, she went, boom. And I saw that. I said, oh, that won't work. This is not scriptural. Like she cared. She was worried if a preacher was going to hold her under or not. So I looked down, and as I went under, I seen about this much of the top of her head didn't go under. I said, oh, this is not being buried. This is not being buried. So I brought her up, and I thought, man, I've got to do this right. If it's going to be done, it's got to be done right. About the time I brought her up, what is she needing? A breath of air. By the time she went like that, I said, oh, I need to finish this. Whoom! Back under I went. And she come up, and now she thought she was buried. Amen. But we got it done. Lord, have mercy. I got some baptismal stories, I'm telling you. Good night. But anyway, a lot of people don't like that aspect of salvation. Brother Rob, they love hearing about salvation that'll keep them from going to hell. They love that fact that, oh, thank God I'm not going to hell. Amen. Oh, they like that salvation part. I'm getting to go to heaven. They just, that in-between life, they just have a problem with. They don't want a new you to be in a new year. They don't want that old man to be dead, that old man to be laid aside and cast off that former conversation of the old man. They don't like that. And it's evident when you preach on that. They don't like it. They'll frown and sometimes they'll even leave the church. I believe we've lost some people over the years that I've been here over that truth. They keep coming to church and they want to hear all of the feel-good stuff, but they don't want to hear the truth about the old man, that old nature, and the corruption of it. Amen. You know, Paul wrote 13 books of the New Testament under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, 14 if he wrote Hebrews, and I believe he did. He spent far more time dealing with how you're supposed to live after you get saved than he ever dealt with about how to get saved. There's a few passages here and there that deals with how to get saved or the plan of salvation, whatever. But my goodness, that chapter after chapter, verse after verse, book after book, that Paul is dealing with God's people about their walk, about their life, about being a new creature in Christ. Amen. Newness. And I don't think there's nothing wrong with us continue to bring that up to you in the services when we gather together about God's wanting to new you. Let the new man be the one in control. Let the new man on the inside, the inner man, the hidden man of the heart, Peter calls it the hidden man or the hidden man of the heart. Amen. Maybe we can say some more about that tonight. But I believe God wants us to focus on that newness of life. And a comparative word to that word newness is found in verse number 5. For if we have if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be, or we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing, verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Christ, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. When you get saved, we identify with his death. In that we die to the old man, that old flesh, the old Adamic nature is dead. Amen. But then the life that comes in is a, we live unto God. We're dead to sin, but we're alive unto God. I got a problem with the lopsided application there. I've got a problem with them that don't ever say that, or here it is. Y'all ready? Those that say they're alive unto God, but they're still alive unto sin. I got a problem with that. I believe I've got a scriptural problem with that. Amen. Those that are dead unto sin are alive unto God. Us being alive unto God is evidence that we have died to sin and died to the old man. We are a new creature in Christ. And we're to walk in the newness of life. Ask yourself today when you go home. Ask yourself, am I really a new creature? I've been made a new creature, but do I have that aspect of newness? That newness of life. Walk in newness of life. That newness that's going to be all through your life. All through eternity. Listen. Oh, I don't want to get on that. I do want to get on that. But I can't stay there, Miss Vicki. When he said to thus walk in newness of life, oh yeah, that definitely encompasses your life, the rest of your life physically. But that's not, when they say that you have died, I've died, don't believe a word of it. I'll be alive there as much as I've ever been spiritually. The new man on the inside dieth no more. Listen, that part of me that's going to heaven, 1 John says, cannot sin. For his seed remaineth in you. Amen. That part of me that's corrupt, that part of me, the old man, the flesh, it's going back to the dust from whence it came. Your flesh can't go to heaven. Your flesh can't go to heaven. Nothing about your flesh can go to heaven. Lord, give this to me yesterday. I believe one of the greatest proof texts of the fact that you can't save yourself, you can't work your way in, you can't anything, is what John, or what Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. There it is. If the flesh is produced by the flesh and it can't be nothing other than flesh, then you tell me how the flesh can have any say-so, any dealings, any connections with you going to heaven. Because Jesus even said flesh and blood will not enter in. If you're going to heaven, you're going to have to go through a transformation where your flesh goes back to the dust from whence it came. And then when Jesus comes about and brings about the resurrection, guess what's going to happen? That dust is going to stay in the ground. That old dusty side of you is going to stay in the ground. Amen. And we're going to be raised with a new, brand new body, fashioned like unto his glorious body. Amen. And some of us are real dusty, aren't we? I'm afraid we're too dusty. We need to let some of that be gone. And let's walk in the newness of life this year. We have life. How many in here are saved? You got life. You got life. You know what you're saying? You've got that new life. It's not political. It's not economical. It's not financial. Nothing of that sort, and that list has anything to do with it. They didn't give it to me, and they can't take it away. Jesus gave it to me. I got saved. January 20th, 1981, I got saved. And you know what? I've been saved for 41 years. And you know what? If you see me tomorrow, I'll still be saved. Next year, I'll still be saved. Amen. That newness of life. But tonight, I'm going to deal with that renewal part. We've been dealing somewhat with the new part this morning. We're going to deal with that renewal part tonight. And I think that's hinted to in that word newness. I think there has to be a renewal, a refreshing. Some of you that's been around some of the mountain churches, old mountain churches, when somebody gets right with God, what do they identify that as? We're going to pick your brain, see if anybody could remember. When they say, so-and-so the other night in our revival, they did this. Say it, sis. Renewed up. Them old timers, that's what they would talk about. Getting right with God. Yeah, Brother Henry, he renewed up.
Many times.
Many times. And that's what we're going to look at tonight, about that renewal. Going in that continual renewing, that newness. Listen, if something is kept in that state of newness, How could it ever get old? How could it ever get old when God's Word identifies it as a state of newness? If it's getting old, you're saved, going to church and live for God. If all that's getting old, guess whose fault that is? That's the influence of the old dusty flesh on the spiritual man. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we come in Jesus' name. I want to thank you, Lord, for helping us. Lord, I want to thank you, Father, that, Lord, I began this year still a new creature in Christ. But, Lord, I know that there is areas of newness that I can work on. There's areas of that newness aspect that, Lord, I need to give attention to. Lord, I don't believe we ever can become bored with something if it's always looked upon as a new thing, as new, fresh, real, present tense. Lord, if we're losing our joy, we've lost that newness. If we've lost our peace and our happiness, Lord, I believe we've gotten away from that newness aspect of our salvation and of the life that you gave us. And Lord, I don't believe we'll ever be able to find the newness of life in the old life. If it could have been found in the old life, we'd have found it when we were living that life. But we never found it because it's not there. It's not found there. Lord, I want to thank you that I had to be birthed by the Spirit of God. The new birth. To be born again. To be born from above. I want to thank you, Lord, for that truth. Lord, I wished I could stand and say this morning that for 41 years I've walked in the newness of life. Though I've never quit, though I've never thrown in the towel and walked away, but still I believe there's some aspects of that newness that I have let slip, that I've let become just normal, the old, got used to it. Wonder how many here this morning or watching this morning have lost that newness of life that Jesus has given us. Lord, I know that you're wanting us to enter this new year in a lot of ways. You're wanting us to be a new you. You're wanting us to be us in a new way. But there's some things, Lord, in last year and the year before, in fact, the last 40, almost 41 years, Lord, that I need to carry over and let spill over and work, continue to flow and work even into this upcoming year. Lord, when we talk about being a new you and a new year and the newness of life, we're not talking about discarding everything to this point and just starting over. Lord, there's a lot of things in our life that we need to keep going. We just need to build on it. We love the Word of God, but we ought to want to love it more. We love church, but we ought to want to love it more. We love you, but we ought to desire to love you more. We love your will, but we should want to love it more. Lord, help us, I pray, as we walk in the newness of life. That meant every step we take, we're stepping more into some more newness. Every day, every step that we take in our journey as a pilgrim and a stranger is days and steps that we're experiencing more of the newness of life. Wow, what a thought. I pray, Lord, you'll help us as we go home today and as we start out this year. Lord, you only know what this year holds for us. You only know what's coming, Lord, in our life personally, circumstantially, in our church nationally, and even in our world globally, you know. And Lord, I believe we can trust you. I believe we can trust you because you have proven yourself to be trustworthy. Lord, we thank you for our visitors being with us today and ask God that you would have blessed them, helped them, encouraged them, and strengthened them. Lord, I realize, God, that I myself am not adequate. But I realize that in Christ I am more than a conqueror, and in Christ I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Lord, I pray that you'll stir us up, Lord, as a church, that we would desire to be a God-honoring church in these last days. And without a doubt, Lord, if that is our desire and direction, without a doubt, Lord, there's going to be some conflicts and opposition. But Lord, opposition has never stopped you. Complications has never stopped you. Problems, issues, the unseen, the unknown, never stopped you. Because you're superior to anything and everything and everyone. Your plan is based on your character. Your purpose is based on your character. That you're holy. And you're not going to let your plan falter. You're not going to let your church falter because you're attached to it. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to feed our faith on these truths. Thank you for speaking to me and helping me this morning. Till we meet again this evening, in Jesus' name, amen.